Well, as our state capitol report continues, we'll take a look at some legislation just signed into law that supporters say will make things better for Alzheimer's patients in Wisconsin. Alzheimer's advocates are praising Governor Scott Walker for signing legislation to improve the quality of life for dementia patients. In this half of our state capitol report, my guest will explain how the package assists with crisis situations for people with dementia, reduces dependency on facility care, and addresses the lack of respite for family caregivers. And we'll also discuss legislation in the pipeline that creates a visitation process for children. If you'd like to join the program, you can do so by phone at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Talk@WPR.org is the email address. You can also make your comment or pose a question on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. My guest in this half of the State Capitol Report is Rob Gunderman, Public Policy Director for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. Rob, welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Good morning.
Rob, thanks for joining us this morning. You're pretty happy with the bills that Governor Walker just signed into law. Without going into too much detail, because we'll try to cover them a little bit as we go, why are you celebrating?
Well, you know, I think this deals with a few longstanding issues that we've had. One, you know, incentivizing home care. We need to do that if we're going to save money with this population. And as you mentioned, we're dealing with these crisis situations, which has been a thorn in the side of a lot of people for a long time now.
And one bill would add $1 million to the Alzheimer's Family and Caregiver Support Program for respite care. What does this program do?
It's the Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Support Program. It basically allows a family caregiver to do a lot of different things. It's a very flexible program. One of the things it's used most frequently for is adult daycare. It gives that caregiver who, you know, caring for someone with Alzheimer's is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week job. And if you don't give them some respite, you know, a couple of bad things can happen. One, they can burn out and just say, I give up. I can't do this anymore. And the other thing is they can get sick themselves. So, you know, this increase in the respite funding will help alleviate that. And you know, sometimes it's a matter of getting someone into the house for a few hours a day to, you know, help with chores. If it's an elderly couple and, you know, maybe that the caregiver is not in that great a shape themselves and, you know, having to you know, do all of this themselves sometimes just isn't possible. And if we can put a little bit of money into respite, then we avoid unnecessary institutionalization.
And now that it has $1 million bonus, how much more help will that provide?
I think it's going to help a lot. It's not just the $1 million increase, but they raise the eligibility level a little bit, too. So that program will be able to serve more people than it's serving, you know, in part because they'll be able to serve people who are earning a little bit more money than they've been able to in the past. This program was set up in 1985, and the eligibility level never increased until now. So, I mean, that was necessary. Mm-hmm. And the number of families it will help, that's partly going to depend on the counties, because the counties set what the cap is going to be. Statutorily, they can provide up to $4,000 a year. But counties typically have provided far less than that to make the money go farther so that they could help more families.
So we really don't have any idea how many more families are going to benefit from this.
We don't at this point. I mean, you know, it's going to depend on how many people, partly getting people aware that this is available now, but also we've had waiting lists, so we'll eliminate some of those waiting lists.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of getting the word out to families about this, what's being done in that regard? I assume your organization is going to be trying to let people know. Who else is working on this?
Well, on the bill, the Greater Wisconsin Area Agency on Aging lobbied on this too. AARP lobbied on this. So, I mean, I think there'll be a coalition of different groups that are all trying to get the word out. And the state, the Department of Health Services, I think they'll be pushing hard to get this information out. I'll be working with the state to do some training of the counties, of the people who actually administer the programs, to talk about how we can do exactly that, what we can do, you know, community by community to get the word out.
And one of the pieces in this most recent legislation is that these services will also be available to Native American tribes in Wisconsin for the very first time. Alzheimer's and dementia affects all demographics, of course, but can you give us a sense of how hard it hits the Native American community?
Well, you know, it hits minorities in general harder than it does to the rest of us. So we're really thrilled that they're going to have this opportunity. I mean, we think this is very important that this is, you know, available to all Wisconsinites.
800-642-1234, the number to call to join our program if you have a question about recent legislation that's going to affect people, families where a family member has Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. This is the time to ask because we have someone here who can answer your question. 800-642-1234. The email address is talk@WPR.org. And you can also join us on Facebook. Look for the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and leave your comment or question there. Another a bill that the governor just signed would give a $250,000 boost in training grants to local mobile crisis teams. Tell us about these crisis teams. What are they and what do they do?
Well, right now the state sets up crisis team. This is a new thing where they're setting up crisis teams to deal with mental health situations and, you know, mobile crisis teams. And, you know, we saw this and we thought, boy, we've got this big problem with these crisis situations arising either in someone's home or in a facility. And what ends up happening is they take the person out and they send them to a hospital or to a mental health facility. And in some cases, we've had people end up in the jails. And we thought, boy, you know, if we could just take that team and tweak it a little bit, you know, change a few of the people on there and bring a few different people in, we could deal with an awful lot of these situations in place. You know, it's far cheaper to deal with these situations in place, and it's far better for the person with dementia. The last thing you want to do when a person is in crisis who has dementia is take them out of their familiar surroundings and away from the people they're familiar with and put them into a new environment. That just makes things worse. So, you know, we're really thrilled with this. We think that this is going to be a win-win for everyone. It's going to help the dementia patient. It's going to help the taxpayer. This is just going to be a good situation.
Are these crisis teams in every county in the state?
Well, the mental health crisis teams are going to be set up in every county in the state. This grant is, you know, $250,000. So actually, it's not every county. I mean, it's in some cases, it's the county that has that deals with the crisis situation. In some cases, these are going to be regional. You'll have two or three counties get together. And part of that's going to depend on population and geography.
And it sounds like this funding is pretty badly needed.
It's very badly needed.
800-642-1234, the number to call with your question about recent legislation concerning families involved in dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia. It certainly is a growing problem as our population ages. We're just going to see more of this, and so we're taking some action. Rob Gunderman is with me in this portion of the State Capitol Report. We're talking about bills recently signed by the governor in this regard, and as we go along through the hour, we'll talk about all of that legislation and kind of explain what's what with that. Another bill that was just signed would require the Department of Health Services to propose a pilot program for a more specialized dementia crisis unit. That program would then be presented to state legislative committees. What kind of specialization are we talking about here, Rob Gunderman?
Well, I think it's about, you know, setting up a crisis unit that is really capable of dealing with people with dementia, and that is their sole focus. And we don't have that right now. And, you know, we just mentioned about how these crisis teams are designed to treat in place, but, you know, we recognize that in some cases that's not going to be possible. And part of the key is that we've got to get out there. You know, we have a mobile crisis team here in Dane County that the Alliance has been a part of for years. And one of the things we've realized is that we've got to get in there quickly. If we don't get in there quickly and these the behavior issues escalate to the point where, you know, someone's ripping sinks off of walls or, you know, has become violent, at that point it's really almost impossible to treat in place. So in those cases, we're going to need somewhere to send them. And, you know, right now they go to hospitals frequently. That's not probably the best place for them. So we're really looking at setting up specific units that are designed specifically for this population.
And a lot of times law enforcement gets involved, and you mentioned earlier that sometimes people end up in jail, which is certainly not a good place for them.
Absolutely, and this is partly because of a Supreme Court decision a few years ago. It was called Helen EF, and the court determined that mental health facilities were not the appropriate place to put people with dementia. And, you know, that decision is being interpreted very differently from one county to the next. Some counties are saying, absolutely, we can't put people in mental health, and other counties are saying, well, that wasn't precedent setting, and they're basically operating as they did before the decision. But in some of these counties where they've taken a real hardline approach to this, that's where we're seeing people ending up in the jails. Although even here in Dane County, we've had people end up in the jails.
Well, and there aren't mental health facilities everywhere in Wisconsin anyway, so sometimes we're talking about shipping people quite a distance.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, Mendota, I mean, this is the reason that we started our crisis team, was to get people out of Mendota mental health. It's $1,500 a day. So, I mean, it's very expensive to have someone in that sort of facility.
Absolutely. We need to take a break for the news. When we come back, we'll continue with our discussion with Rob Gunderman on the State Capitol Report. Rob, when we come back, I'd like to get your sense of how Wisconsin is doing compared to the rest of the country in terms of taking care of its Alzheimer's and dementia population. We'll do that, and we'll take your calls or questions, assuming you have any, when we come back after the news. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, talk at WPR.org, or find The Joy Cardine Show on Facebook. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's our State Capitol Report for this Monday, the 28th of March. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. My guest is Rob Gunderman, Public Policy Director for Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. We're talking about recent legislation signed into law by Governor Walker that will have an impact on families who have someone with Alzheimer's or dementia. Rob Gunderman, this is a problem that will continue to increase as our population ages. How is that going to manifest in Wisconsin, do you think?
Well, you know, the thing about Alzheimer's is Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia. It's largely a disease of age, and our state is aging. That's just the reality of our demographics. The population age 65 to 84, the 2010 census listed about 650,000. By 2040, we anticipate that's going to grow to about 1,250,000, so about a 90% increase. And then those over 85, that's going to go up about 139%. And the population over 85, nearly half of that population has some form of dementia. So we're going to see an influx here. And you know, how great the influx is debatable. We aren't exactly sure how much it's going to increase, but we know it's going to increase a lot.
Where is Wisconsin in terms of, as we compare ourselves to other states, where is Wisconsin in terms of how we're handling the problem of Alzheimer's and dementia?
Well, you know, we've been fortunate. Wisconsin has always been a leader in this. We mentioned the Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Support Program and the increase in funding for that. That was actually the model for the National Family Caregiver Program. When Bill Clinton was president, he sent people out here and they looked at our program and essentially copy that in many ways. So we have been a leader for a long time. I think one area we could do a little better in is getting some trained facility folks. One of the bills that was left on the table this session would have created a certification process for dementia specialists. So it would have allowed a certified nursing assistant to go through additional training and become a certified dementia specialist. And that's something we'll be coming back with next session. I think that would really do a lot to elevate the quality of care for people who are living in nursing homes and, in some cases, community-based residential facilities.
What do we need to do still to be in a better position to keep up with future needs?
I think that training is really the key piece here. I think if we want to improve the quality of care, Getting folks a little better trained would help with that, and I think it would help with these crisis situations as well, because you'd have people who would identify these situations early on and would understand the catalysts for them. And that's a lot of what we do, is we go into a facility when there's a problem and we say, okay, what's causing this? You know, why is the person acting this way? People with Alzheimer's disease don't act out for no reason. I mean, if they're acting out, there is a reason behind that, and it's a question of figuring out what that reason is.
There are a lot of myths and misconceptions out there about, pretty much any health condition. There's always going to be that. Let's talk a little bit about the myths and misconceptions about people with dementia and how maybe that impacts policy decisions.
Sure. I think there's a lot that people just don't understand about people with dementia. And I think one of the effects of that is people pull back, and you know, that's one of the things that the state has been working really hard to eliminate, and that we've been working really hard to eliminate, to understand that a person with dementia is just like the rest of us. They just have a cognitive deficit there. And the state has done a really good job, and we've been partnering on this to create dementia-friendly communities around the state and to make businesses aware of what it's like for someone to have dementia. I think the stigmatism that's gone with this is eased up quite a bit as people become more aware of the disease and as people aren't hiding it the way they used to. When I started nearly 20 years ago, people were still being sheltered quite a bit when they had Alzheimer's, and it's not like that anymore. And a lot of the reason, I think, behind that is people with dementia coming out and speaking and being the public face and saying, yes, I have dementia. You know, don't be afraid of me. There isn't anything to worry about here. I just have a cognitive deficit.
Mm. A recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story pointed out that African Americans are nearly twice as likely as whites to develop Alzheimer's disease. Do we know why that is?
Well, you're getting beyond my pay grade here, but I can tell you, you know, part of this issue is heart. I mean, we always tell people what's good for your heart is good for your brain. And you know, in the past, we would say everything was Alzheimer's, Alzheimer's, Alzheimer's. And now what we're finding is that some of that was actually mixed dementia. And we're seeing a lot more cases of that where it's vascular and Alzheimer's combined. And African Americans have a higher risk for these things. So you know, we have this great facility at the UW-Madison, the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. It's one of, I think, about 25 or 26 NIH-funded research centers, and they're studying these things. So we're learning more and more about the brain, but we've still got a long way to go.
Let's take a call. We have Mark joining us from Richland Center. Mark, welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Good morning. Thank you for the show. The question about in-home care or leaving a person in their home is really oftentimes driven by insurance, because a lot of people can get insurance if you put your parent or your spouse in a facility, but you can't get any coverage, or the insurance companies won't pay for coverage to have some assistance brought into your house. And so a lot of people are pulled out of their house. You know, you said that's the last thing you want to do, but oftentimes it happens simply because people don't have that kind of coverage on their insurance.
Absolutely, and that is a problem, and that's one of the reasons that the Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Support Program is so important, and why the eligibility level is higher than it is for most other programs, because we need to incentivize that.
But that kind of insurance, I mean, in-home nursing care is available on most health insurance policies if you buy it. I know the reason I know that is that my mother had it, and it didn't seem like it increased the cost of the premium by that much. So
yeah,
we do have a way. People just maybe need to be aware when they buy health insurance that they can purchase that kind of coverage. Wouldn't that be true?
Sure, and you know, planning is a big part of Alzheimer's disease, and that's one of the reasons that we say, you know, it's very important if you think you have some cognitive issues going on that you go out and get that diagnosis. And I hear people all the time say to me, I don't want to know if I have Alzheimer's. Well, you really do, because you want to be able to plan. And, you know, what type of insurance policy you buy is part of that planning. And if you're still working, you know, figuring that out is part of your planning.
You pointed out in an email to producer Bill Martins that Governor Walker is scheduled to sign a fourth bill into law this coming week to create a visitation process for children. It's designed to address situations like the one faced by the family of famous radio personality Casey Kasem in the lead up to his death in June of 2014. Describe the situation and how this law will address it.
Well, in that case, Casey Kasem had a second wife, and his daughter Carrie Kasem came and testified on this, and she was saying how her stepmother was moving him from location to location, and basically trying to prevent the children from seeing him. So this bill creates a legal path for people to petition the court and say, "I want to visit, I want to visit my parent," and then the court would make that determination. And what's interesting is that, or what I really like about the bill is that the bill puts two pieces in there. The court may not grant an adult child's petition for visitation if the court finds that the resident still has capacity and says they don't want to see the child, or if it's not in the resident's best interest. So, I mean, we feel that's really important, that we always want to do what's in the best interest of the resident, but if the child wants to see mom or dad, we don't want a guardian preventing that.
We haven't found a cure for dementia. Is Wisconsin involved in research into to trying to find some way to at least ameliorate the effects?
Yeah, absolutely. We do recruiting for research studies, but the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center at UW-Madison is doing wonderful things. They're learning about the brain, but they're also actually studying treatments. They're looking for, obviously, a cure, but they're also looking for better ways to treat the disease. We don't have anything right now that will delay the pathology of the disease in the brain. We have things that some medications that in some people will delay the onset of symptoms, but that's all that we have at this point. So, at this point, we would be happy, frankly, if we just had better treatments. And the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center at UW-Madison is working really hard to come up with that.
Well, until we reach that point, what's your hope for how Wisconsin will address patients of Alzheimer's and dementia and their families?
I think we have to look at how we can do some cost savings here. We've got a big influx of people coming, and we've got to figure out how we provide good care for them and how we do this cost effectively. And we're pushing, of course, for the to provide as many options for home care as possible. At some point, in many cases, people will have to go into a facility. We want what's best for them, and when they need skilled nursing and they're no longer safe or getting the proper care at home, then they should be in a facility. But we think we've got to do more things to incentivize that home care, and part of that's making communities dementia-friendly. Part of that's providing respite. There are a number of things that we can do on that front. One of the things that the Alliance does is we have these memory cafes, and the person with dementia comes and their care partner comes and they break off into two different groups, and it's getting people together where they can really support each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rob Gunderman, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Rob Gunderman is the Public Policy Director for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. Bill Martins produced this week's State Capitol Report. Elizabeth Deliquis handled on-air production. And Christy Taylor did her usual outstanding job of directing the program. Coming up, we'll be talking science from 8 to 9 o'clock this morning. And I hope you'll stick around. I think it's going to be an interesting hour. Our guest physicist and astronomy professor talks about the sounds of the great beyond and her book, Black Hole Blues and Other Songs from Outer Space. It should be a fascinating hour. It's a fascinating book. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.